I'm
Do
ready when you are.
Hello, 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 and welcome
Hello.
to another episode of Alana Song Hopes of Heaven podcast. Today, I am very excited to welcome Denise Grenulin.
Danielin.
Yeah. And I can do first names really well, but then the last names I kind of like, but welcome, welcome. We are here to listen and to learn from your journey, to gather strength from you. Hopefully you'll give us nuggets for us to just make it through our journey. I have mothers all over the globe that's listening, so we are excited to have you. You are a singer-songwriter. You are also an author for grieving. And your daughter's name is Holland.
Just like the
Yes.
country.
Yes. So welcome. I'm just going to give you the floor. This is your platform, and we are excited to listen to your story. Welcome.
Well, okay then. Where do I start? My daughter was 38 years old at the time she passed. She was a really amazing person, great, funny, smart, all of that stuff. And also wrote. She wrote a couple of books on her own, and very interested always in my music and very supportive of what I was doing. Well, when she had two babies, they were one and two at the time she died, and so they don't have any recollection of her at all, other than through me and the stories that go on and on forever, of course. But where was I going with the I had a point to make, but anyways, so she was 38, and she had these two babies, and then after she had the second baby, like some women do, they get very buxom, if I don't know how else to say that. And so it wasn't a vanity thing, but she came to me one day. She said, "Mom, I can't hold my babies close to me without pain." So she went and she had a breast reduction. And just to give you an idea that it wasn't vanity, they took off 20 pounds of tissue. So, and she was so happy because the first thing she wanted to do was hold the babies. Well, she developed sepsis, which is an infection, and she died from that. That's what took her. So she leaves behind these two amazing little children with no, no mommy. So for the first year, as you can probably relate to, and I'm sure a lot of other, grieving mothers, I hardly can remember that first year. I was just in such a bad state, like shock, that every day, if I slept at all, the whole day was the first thing, of course, was just with me, like this black cloud all the time, and I couldn't shake it, and I couldn't enjoy anything. And I have no other children. That was it, and I was very close with her. So, and you can imagine, when they get to that age and they've had babies and stuff, they, for those of you who your child is an older child when they pass away, you that relationship becomes like friendship. Anyway, so I had lost my mother a few years earlier. She was like my best friend. I was only daughter, very close with her. And then it happened again, with my daughter. So I couldn't have felt more horrible and alone and depressed. Well, my son-in-law, he didn't want to stay with me, which I offered him to do and help with the kids. So he was also in shock. They were together for 18 years. They waited to have children. They were so excited, And anyways, off he went to. Was living in Arizona at the time, and he decided to go to New Mexico and start over because he just didn't want any memory of it. He was too in his own grief thing. So, after about maybe a year or two, of course, that was all I was focused on, all I talked about, I didn't know about grief groups. I was trying to do it on my own. He said to me, "You used to write music." I quit doing everything, anything that was creative. I could not. I would totally stifle.
I got
He
it.
said, "You used to write music and stuff. Why don't you write some songs for your grandchildren?" Well, ding, 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 ding. And I thought, okay. So at the time, I was trying to explore some spiritual ways to cope. And I ended up writing about a dozen songs that became a CD called Child of God that I sent to my grandkids.
Wow.
And they loved the music. So that started me, you know, back into having some kind of a purpose in this world. Like, I can't stay in this place. My daughter wouldn't like it. And I just couldn't, you know, what am I doing to honor her? Nothing. I just feel sorry for myself and stuff. I was awful. Well, you know, you go through the whole gamut.
Yes.
Anger, resentment, pity, victimhood, all of it.
Whole,
you know, there's an any,
thing.
Yeah, any emotion bad enough that you can't take it on at that, during that time. So I heard about, I wrote a song, the same man that I, he had a child that died that I knew, they were schoolmates. And he had a like a charity and a you know, what's the word I want? You know, where they have a thing, you know, like an organization.
Talking. Yeah.
There's a name for
like
it.
Like a nonprofit or?
Yeah, like a nonprofit.
Uh-huh.
So he, foundation. They had a foundation. And he was putting together some kind of an event. And he knew that I had done some stuff musically and stuff. And he said, can you write something? You know, I want to show all the pictures of the kids, you know, that have passed and stuff. And can you write something to go along with it? So it was like, maybe. I used to be able to write on assignment, you know.
Right.
I'll try, you know. Well, anyway, so I ended up doing that. I wrote that was my first song about grief. I wrote a song called What a Party. Like, if the doors opened up and all the angels came in, what a party we would have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gives me the chills thinking about it. And then I thought, okay, now what am I going to do with this song? So I heard about Compassionate Friends, and I sent my song in. And I said, I said, you may have a need for this to play at the conference. I did it for this. And they knew this person because he had done a lot of speaking at the conferences. And the next thing I know, like Alan Peterson, who was in charge, the, you know, executive officer of the Compassionate Friends, called me up. And he said, this was 3 years out now from losing my child. He said, I want you to come sing this song at the conference. I said, I don't really perform, which I didn't. I used to write songs and then I'd have other give them to other people. I didn't, wasn't much of a, you know, performer. And I said, I don't really get up. Why don't you have some, get somebody to come sing it, you know? And he said, no, it won't have the same meaning. This is your life. You've been through it. You're speaking to friends. They all know and understand every word you're saying. Come do it. You know, it'll change your life.
Yeah.
And he was right. It did. So you talk about trying to find a purpose after you lose your child. You found yours now after losing Alana. And you're doing this to help others. And that started me on the journey of writing music and performing it, even though I don't sing like Celine Dion, but still people listen to the lyrics and they know exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You know, because you know, it's interesting. You think, see what you think about this, but it doesn't matter really where you're born, what country you come from, what kind of life you've had, what color your eyes are, your hair, your skin, what religion you are, what your job is, what your anything about you that separates us. When you lose a child, you are sisters and brothers and everything is, you feel the same. You get it.
Completely.
Right?
You get it.
Like we are bound forever, or binded together now because we share something that you don't want to share, but you do. So anyway, and the rest is, you know, from that, when COVID came, I couldn't go and do the music anymore because we couldn't go out in public and the conferences were all virtual and stuff like that. So I was sitting here and my grandkids are older now because it's this month on the 29th. It'll be 10 years since Holland left this world. And this month for me is always difficult. I don't know if it is for you and other moms.
It is.
But I, in my mind, you know, like I know what was happening this time exactly 10 years ago before she died. You know, the surgery, I took her to the thing, talked to her, the conversations that we had. You know, I remember, right? It's like permanently. And so you live through it once again. So I have kind of an emotional, melancholy period of time right now until that day comes and goes. So While I was, so anyway, my grandkids are now 11. Well, my grandson's going to be 11 next month, and my granddaughter just turned 12. So while COVID was going on, she was like eight or whatever, and she liked fairies. Well, so did her mommy, you know, loved stories about fairies. So I started writing because I couldn't see her so much, stories, and sending her, like, and it morphed into a book.
Wow.
So my first book was called Bidoo. Her name is Bidoo. Bidoo's Adventures, about a little girl who finds a fairy, and then she helps the fairy mend her wing, and then the fairy turns her into a fairy, and they go off on these adventures only to do good and share love and help others. And oh, it's the sweetest spiritual story. Yeah, isn't that something? And then that's how that it morphed into that. And then I started feeling about, you know, trying to get yourself light inside, you know, all these things about anger and grief, resentment, all those things just weigh you down. How do you lighten that load? And so I wrote a book called Becoming Enlightened. I am, instead of how people talk about getting higher consciousness, enlightened, you know, so I wrote it about enlightened. And that was sort of my journey and how you never lighten it really, but I can spend a lot more time thinking about the happiness and the joy and what she would think if this was happening now and all of those kinds of things than being depressed and unhappy that she's not here anymore. So,
that's good.
And then I try to honor her with all the things I do, everything creative, it's all really about keeping her part of my life. Cause that, just like you're doing, that's keeping Alana close to you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You get to talk about her and share with other. Yeah. It's, I'm really happy to be, you know, part of this. So thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So let's talk a little bit about the music. Do you feel that it just flows, or does something occur that triggers a song? I talk to many moms who feel like, I don't have a purpose with this. I don't know what my purpose is. And it's hard to explain that it just comes. It
comes. Land on it, you know, how did you get the idea for this podcast?
It's
germinated. It became a seed. It was like, and then the more you thought about it, now here you are, you know? So for me, I'll get usually a thought, like, you know, when, just as an example, when it was 5 years, I thought about, it's been 5 years, you know, but I still miss her and I still feel this or whatever. Yes. And so I started writing a song, you know, 5 years down the road. That was my opening line. Sometimes it feels like yesterday, how, you know, where time go. So many things have changed. I can't quote every lyric, but, you know, and that was how that song, but if 10 years down the road, I'm still in the same place. I still think of her every day. I still miss her. I still think she's in the room. I say a lot of times, if I feel you right now, if you hear me, you know, I want you to know that I feel you, because I do. I still do. It doesn't go away. I love when it happens and she pops in for a visit.
Yes.
Do you get the same thing?
I do too. I get dreams. So I love when I call them Alana dreams, you know.
Awesome. Yeah.
Visits, you know. So I'm with you there. I believe that they're with us. Mm-hmm. And you just have to take a minute, a second to feel it, to say, you know, I know you're here and I know you're cheering for me, you know, and, just their spirit, you know, all lives on through us and they're rooting us on.
I agree with you like 100%. So, knowing that, I feel like she's sort of my muse, you know, things come through her, you know. After it was like 10 years, I wrote a song just a couple years ago called I Still Feel Yesterday. You know, I can still feel it just like she was here. I still feel the love. I still feel the, you know, and what's interesting is that you know, other parents, they'll say, that's exactly how I feel. It's 'cause so we, I know we all feel that same thing when I talk about kissing my child on top of her head and, you know, not making a tent in the living room. You know, I write these about these things in my songs. You know, I paint the pictures that everybody else did with their kid, you know, and yeah, I even write about some of the hard stuff. Like, you know, yesterday I saw mommy holding hands with her little girl, and then, and those make me so sad, you know, that I can't have it anymore. And, you know, I'm still touched by it. I still am very emotional when I think about, you know, that I, what I've lost. However, I try to focus on what I had, you know, I mean, it was an amazing experience to be a mommy. And,
And
yeah.
yeah, and that's so important that we focus on what we had instead of what we, you know, I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. I don't know, you know, what my daughter would have had she gotten married, would she would have had children. With Alana, she never, that I know of, she never got to drive, you know.
Oh.
So there's parents, you know, that like you had your daughter longer than I had mine. So I hear parents say, oh, but my daughter didn't get to do this, and my daughter didn't get to do that. Well, you got to see your daughter drive. You got to see her go to the prom. You got to see, you know. So there's always someone further along. So we have
Yes.
to keep that in mind before I get stuck on, oh, Alana didn't get to do this. Alana didn't get to do that. I hold on to what she did get to do, because you best believe there's a mom who lost her baby at 7. The
That's
age of
right.
7, and she's saying, well, at least you got to see your daughter go to high school. At least you got to see your daughter middle school, you know. So it's kind of hard for us, and it's natural for us to think those thoughts, because
Yes.
yes, I did want to see Alana go off to college and
Of
play.
course, of course.
She was a ball player, and to play basketball for college, and to meet the young man she would marry, and you know, all of those things, those children having, you know, grandchildren, you
Yeah.
know. But it's so important that we hold on to what we did, what we
What
did.
we did get. I mean, it's a big ripoff in its own way, losing your child. I don't care what age it is. You know, it's a part of you that you, it shouldn't be that way. It's not the natural order of things. You know, I met a woman who was in her high 80s and her 65-year-old son passed away. And I took her to a meeting, a grief meeting, because it didn't matter what the age is when you lose your child. It's still
Your
a big
baby.
tragedy that you hard to have trouble, you know, coping with. But you are so right about, you know, I try to focus on the good, and I feel fortunate that I had her as long as I did. And yeah, I would have liked more, of course. You don't ever get enough of, you know, of that, of that, of that. So.
With her being your only child, because I've come across this, and I'm sure moms across the globe has come across this, and it does not make it easier. And with us being angel moms, we do a lot of tongue biting, because they just don't get it. If
That's
you're,
right.
they just don't get it. I've had someone say to me, well, at least you have other children. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and if you lose your leg, at least you have another leg. What, you know what I mean? I mean, that's the dumbest thing ever that you, but
Ever.
there, somebody put a list together of things you should never say to a bereaved parent, and that's one of them. Oh, but you have other children. Well, oh, let me pick one. Those of you people that have, you know, never lost a children, a child, but you have three children. Why don't you pick the one you want to lose?
There
You
you
know
go.
what I mean?
There you go.
But it is hard, being, and I will tell you what you said about there's others, you know, that are like less fortunate, or you want to stay on what you do have. I've met people who've lost both of their children, or I met a woman who lost all three of her children in a car accident, all of them.
Wow.
And it makes you stop and think, you know, like, you know, that you feel bad. You have not, don't have shoes until you see the guy that has no feet.
Yeah.
There are people that I've had, somebody told me she lost to cancer at different times. So the first one died at the age of 13, and then the brother got to be 13 or 14, and then he had a different kind of cancer and
Wow.
he died. And somebody actually said to her, "You're still young enough, you could have more children." Oh, so like get another dog?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, people
Yeah.
don't think, and it's not really because they want to be not nice to you. They don't know what to say because they just don't get it.
They
You
don't
know,
get it.
just here's what all I would like people to say to me is, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Tell me about your daughter.
Yeah.
Just ask me about her." You
Yeah.
know, like I want to talk about her. I want her to still be in my world and stuff. And I think it makes people uncomfortable.
Very,
Yeah.
very. I can remember being in a store. I don't know, Target. I was in a store or somewhere shopping. I can remember seeing a parent. Our daughters played basketball together. So she knew me. And I saw her in, you know, down the aisle, and she like froze and turned and went the other way.
Oof.
I just saw it, you know, she
Yep.
just acted like she did not see me. And it was painful
Yeah.
because our daughters played basketball together. We've been at games together. I know you know me. I know you saw me, but they don't get it. They don't get
She
it.
didn't know what to say to you. She
Yeah.
just didn't know what to say. You know, I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine. Our daughters played together, and I knew him, and I knew they played together enough that she would come to our house and whatever.
Right.
Well, when she grew up at the age of 21, she went on a thing with college, and they were traveling the world, and she was in a bus accident. She got killed. And I saw him a few months later, and I went over to him and I said, "I'm so sorry." This is before I lost Holland. I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And I said, I am so sorry. I can't imagine what you're going through." And he said, "No, you can't." And I actually thought, "What? You know, I'm trying to offer whatever." I thought I
Right.
was being so whatever, empathetic or something, thinking
Right.
about me and not thinking about him. And it was like that, I thought it was rude almost. Well, it was probably maybe 8 years later that my daughter died. I called him and I said, "You know, when I saw you at Starbucks that day, you know, and you said that to me, I you're right, because now I know, and you're right. That was the proper response. You cannot imagine. You just can't."
You
So what do people say when they can't imagine? It's like saying, you know, your friend's going through cancer. You can't really imagine that
yeah.
either. But the worst thing you can't imagine is losing your child.
The
There is no words to explain that to prepare you. None.
no, and
Yeah,
even
none.
let's talk about Holland. Was it a process or was it all of a sudden? Did
No, it
you
was a
kind of
process. You mean
so,
her death?
yes.
Yes, she had the surgery on Valentine's Day that year. And then she came home and it started to get infected, and it was an issue with the doctor. You know, he'd just call in, was 2 hours away, the doctor. So he would, and she had these babies. So she didn't want to be running back and forth. He just kept calling in antibiotics, and none of them were working. And then one time he actually said, "I'm going to give you some Valium. You need to relax. You know, it's just an infection." And after I was talking to her and she said, Mom, there's nothing more he can do for me. I said, I don't believe that, you know?
Yeah.
And about 3 days later, she collapsed on the floor, not able to speak. And she died 3 days after that. And then when she was in the hospital, by the time she got to the hospital with sepsis, it was over. It was just, you know, you bleed out every, I mean, it's just a horrible, 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 horrible thing. But so it's not like we had time, even though it took, I knew she had the infection, but only knew 3 days before she died that, and she was so sick. She thought she had the flu and she had body aches, and it's a terrible, painful thing, terribly painful thing. So yeah, so we had 3 days to sort of prepare, but you can't prepare, even if even when the child's got cancer or something, I don't, and you know what the possible outcome, they're still there. And tell me about Alana just a little bit. Had no warning.
None at all.
It was an instant.
Yeah.
An instant death.
Yeah. And that's what I was getting at. Even though, and that's not there, you can't put time on it. There is no enough time to prepare.
None.
There is no enough time to prepare. So with Alana leaving me instantly, I was going to get into that as far as, were you an inkling of trying to wrap your mind around what's going on here? I think she's not going to make it.
I mean, I knew when she went to the hospital and I went to see her, her eyes were kind of, you know, back in her head, and she couldn't communicate. You know, they had PICC lines everywhere or whatever. And then, you know, a couple of days later, they said, there's no brain activity. Then you have to, I didn't have to make the decision. Her husband did.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have made it, you know, the decision, what was needed to be done. But no, you want to tell them. I wanted to be able to communicate with her at the end and tell her one more time, you know, I love you, or, you know, wait for me, I'll be there.
Yes.
That kind of thing. And, you know, don't worry, you know, I'll watch out for the kids, or whatever you would say to your child. You mainly want to tell them you love them. You want them to take that with them, right, for the ride, and keep it with them so they never forget how you feel. And you don't get that chance. I didn't. No, I didn't get that chance. But she was getting ready to. She spoke fluent Vietnamese. She was fascinated with the language and the country. But anyway, she got a teaching job. She was supposed to start April 15th.
Uh-huh.
And that's why she wanted to have that surgery done, all that stuff prior to. And I remember talking to her on the phone. And I said, I wish you weren't going. You know, I don't want you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, we'll just be closer, you know, when I have this great career, and it's just going to make us closer. And I remember, you probably remember your last conversation with Alana, you know, you can't forget it. And I thought, you know, that's so weird, because my saying, I don't want you to go, meant a whole lot more than just, I don't want you to go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to leave this world. So,
The things
I'm glad I said that.
The things that we recall. So I wanted to get that out there, because there's no, at least you were preparing, you know, she was sick and you were preparing yourself.
I thought she was, they could, you know, put her on an antibiotic or do whatever they do, and she'd recuperate. She was healthy.
Yes.
She wasn't a sickly person and had this whole amazing life. You know, she wanted her kids to have a different kind of a lifestyle. And, you know, and I talked about me coming there and staying. And I mean,
it's
terrible, 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 terrible. I'm sure you know, Alana had dreams. Like, I'm sure you talked about what she wanted to do with her life and what her hopes and dreams were. And, you know,
She, Alana received her first invite to college. I was the one who got it. She was not able to see her first invite that came through the mail to college, to be accepted at a college to play basketball. So I still have that. Of course, there's things that I,
Sure.
you know, still have, and I have her first letter. So yeah, there's things that we're just going to, you know, deal with when they're gone. But I kind of look at them as, I call them Alana winks, you know.
Where, well, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Where something comes or something reminds me of her just going through my day. And, you know, that's just her winking at me. Mom, just.
Yeah. I've never heard it described that way, but I like that. I get those too. You know,
yeah.
Like I know what she would think or what, where, if I may ask, was Alana in the order of your children? Which
Alana is the baby.
It's the baby.
The baby of three. She's the baby of three, and she's everybody's baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's baby. So, yeah. So I'm just going to let you, before we, is there anything else you want to get out on the table or anything else you want, you feel like walking this journey that you feel that would help the other moms as we're going through this?
Well, I don't know that I'm can offer advice. I can only offer my experience. And you stay on the path. Everything you feel is natural and normal. And a friend of mine told me this years ago, and keep yourself open and receptive to something that is going to come and give you purpose. When you're stuck and closed,
yeah,
you might be getting those winks and messages from
yeah.
beyond, but you can't receive. Your receptors are, you know,
yeah.
blocked.
That's
so
good.
Stay open. If I was giving advice, I'd stay open, because I don't know how it, you know, the thing with like all these songs that came to me. I
yeah.
mean, I wrote two CDs of grief songs for parents.
Wow.
And I believe that it because I was open to it, that I and that made me feel some purpose, because I was helping
yeah.
others. That's another part of it. You know, find out something through your story. You just telling your story can help another mother.
Yes.
Listening to this podcast and listening to all the people that have been through it helps.
Yes.
It just helps, because you go, oh, I'm not alone. That's exactly how I, you know, see
yeah.
it. And that's what, and then, and tell your story as much as you can. It will help and reach others. So that's
oh,
what
yeah.
I think. I like to hear everybody's story.
Oh yeah. I do too.
And you obviously do too, because you're going to be hearing a ton of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too.
Yeah.
And I just believe that it's all a part of the healing process.
Absolutely.
All a part of the healing process, because there's always someone further along in the journey than you that could, you know, drop you a nugget, like, oh, just like the Alana winks, you know, just something like, oh yeah, wow, I didn't think of it that way. There's
yeah,
always,
that's a good one.
Yeah, there's always
yeah.
something that's gonna help along the way, to whereas,
absolutely.
You know, I'm farther along than someone else, you know. So it's just a circle of us that we do not want to be in this group, or
nope,
in this
we didn't choose it. We didn't choose it.
Yeah,
we didn't, you know, sign up for it, and we didn't get in line for it, you know. But here it's thrown upon us, and to do the best we can do. And I always see it as, it's, you know, another day closer to seeing her again, you know,
yeah.
to see my
oh,
daughter
yeah.
again, because I
okay.
believe I'll see her. I do
yes.
believe I'll see her.
Yes. On that note, I'm going to ask you what I ask all of my mamas. What is your hopes of heaven, or when you leave here? What's your hope?
My hope is that we've crossed to another side that's happy, joyful, and full of, you know, like rainbows, and that
yes,
she's, yeah, waiting there, and we get to sit and have this amazing conversation about all those years. And probably she'll be saying something like, I know, Mom, I was watching.
Yeah.
So I feel that, you know, that she was there. So yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what my hope for heaven.
Yeah.
My hope is to see her and my mother, you know.
Oh
like
yeah.
That.
Oh,
yeah.
Just a huge, huge family reunion.
Yeah.
Huge.
And my mom, before she died, said to me, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. She was sick, you know, if anything happens to you. And she said, don't worry, I'll always be with you. And I thought, wow, how can she always be with me? But she is. And, you know, it's been, So I feel the same way about my daughter. When they're a part of you, they're always a part of you. And just be, I'll tell you, I'll leave you with a little nugget that somebody told me about. It's a Buddhist saying that when somebody dies, nothing changes. The only difference is they're no longer outside of you. They're inside. I love that. That's a Buddhist thing.
Wow.
So if they're not outside of you here in person, right, then they're inside of you. They're still with you. Nothing changes. You still love them. They love you. You feel. Anyway, that was it. That one helped me.
That That's a good one. Yeah, I needed that for me.
And I'm happy to share.
So go ahead and tell us your books. I'm going to put links to all of your information, you know, when the podcast is posted. But also go ahead and tell us your books again and the name of your CDs again and your social medias where you can be reached if someone wants to reach out to you.
Great. My website is my name, DeniseScanlon.com. Everything is on there. All my books, my music, everything's there. My books and some of my music are on Amazon. Both my books, Bidoo's Adventures. If you just type my name, Denise Scanlon, you'll see that. You'll be able to see my two books on Amazon. And what else? Oh, my music, you can get for free on YouTube. There's quite a few of the songs. You can preview them and see what you think. They're on Spotify. But I noticed there's at least a dozen of my grief songs on YouTube, and they're free.
Wow.
So, I really just want you to enjoy it. And I do keep my books priced pretty low. The children's book is not in an ebook form because most kids want a tangible book. Yeah. But my In Becoming Enlightened is, like $2 or something, for an ebook to download it. I try to, because the idea is to help others. And that was part of it. So my website is DeniseScanlon.com. My email, please write to me. And if you have a question or, need encouragement, I'm happy to help anybody that reaches out. So I'm Denise at DeniseScanlon.com. You can sign up for my email list. I'll notify you if new things come out. And let's see. I'm also on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm also on Instagram, but I'm just learning that thing.
Yeah.
I'm not on TikTok yet. I may expand, but I'm not sure. And my CDs, the two that I did for group, and I have three spiritual CDs, if you like spiritual music, The Child of God, What I Can't See, and One More Day. Those are spiritual ones. But my two for grievers are I'll Meet You There, which is a great song for memorial services and things like that. Like in the middle, I'll meet you right up there.
Yeah.
And my first one was called Unexpected Turn in the Road. Because it is, isn't it?
It is.
An unexpected turn in the road.
Definitely.
So, I think I told you everything that, but if you have any questions, you can always find me somewhere. Just type my name in Google and you'll get my website probably.
All right. Okay. Denise, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank you for having me and tell you what an awesome thing I think you're doing and what a, joy it is to, get to be on the show because you're wonderful and your heart is right there where it needs to be. Great.
Thank you.
Your daughter's proud of you.
Thank you. That means so much, so much. I just want to shine her light. Yeah.
That's right. And you do. You do.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Mamas, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I again will post everything with Denise's links at the when the podcast is posted. So thanks again for joining us. All righty. Talk to you soon, mamas.